couple of weeks ago.
In Ephesians chapter, this is not about confession, this is an extra for you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask." Now that's prayer part. We're in prayer, okay? "Above all that we ask or think." So we ask it, and we even just think some things. He says, "According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." There was a pastor who was speaking to his people, and he said, "You know, God never did give me anything I ever wanted." Right away, that sounded kind of strange to his people, because this was a man who had served God all his life and had a fruitful ministry, well respected. He went on, "God didn't let me go to the college I wanted to go to. God never let me pastor the church I wanted to pastor. God didn't even let me marry the woman I want to marry." And his wife was sitting right there. You talk about a guy who was digging a hole deeper and deeper. But then he gave a big smile and said, "God never did give me anything I ever wanted, but he always gave me something better than I ever wanted." Isn't that beautiful? God didn't give us what we want, but he gives us something better. Just wait. Just be patient. Keep praying. Don't stop believing. Paul wanted to go to Bithynia and into Asia, but the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to go over to Greece. I want you to go over to Macedonia." And God opened up all of Europe for the preaching of the gospel, because he was supernaturally leading Paul and building his church. Now listen, God is supernaturally leading you and building you. So just don't despair. Keep on praying. And and remember about the man who didn't get the wife he wanted. Oof, I can just imagine the church sitting there while he's saying that. Oh, my goodness. He knew where it was going, but they didn't. 1 John chapter 1, please. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we're just fine with God, he and I, we're okay, but we walk in darkness, then we're lying." And it says, "We do not the truth." We're not doing the truth. Okay? If we say that we have fellowship with him, "Well, you know, everything's okay about me with God." Well, it isn't how it is with us about God. It's about how is God with us. Okay? And so we've got to keep in mind that when we say that we are in fellowship with him, you cannot be in fellowship with him and live in darkness. What do you mean live in darkness? Live in any way that is outside of what this Bible allows. Okay? And we need to remember that. And if we say, "Well, you know, it's okay, I'm all right." Well, by whose evaluation?
Right. Mm-hmm.
When somebody says that, when you're talking to them, it's always by their evaluation of themselves. But we're not supposed to evaluate ourselves by ourselves. We're to evaluate ourselves by the Word of God. He goes on and says in verse 7, but, now you see, in verse 6 doesn't end with a period. So that thought we just explained a little bit of continues on. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, all right, what is, thy word is a what?
A lamp.
And a light to our path. And so when he says, if we walk in the light, here it is. If we walk in agreement with the scripture, it says there, if we walk in the light as he, that it be Jesus, is in the light. Okay? Then, you see, we have fellowship one with another. You know why some people can't get along? Because at least one of them's not walking in the light. So if you have one walking in the light and one that's not walking in the light, that is one that's living to the best of their ability by the guidance of the scriptures. Now we're all learning. Nobody's perfect. But if you have an individual that is trying, endeavoring to live by the word of God, and when they realize that they have done or thought or said something that isn't, and then they admit it to God, confess it. I'm going to deal with that more. But he says, if we walk in the light as he, that's Jesus, is in the light. Now we know how Jesus is in the light by the Bible. That's how we know the light. And we walk in the light as he is in the light. Then we can get along. Then we have fellowship one with another. Now, fellowship one with another. Fellowship has to do with our spirit getting along with another person's spirit. Our spirit being able to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we can have fellowship one with another. But listen to me. Don't miss this. We all have a personality. Have you heard it said already about, he just rubs me the wrong way. Okay? You may both be but Christians. You may both be endeavoring, trying to live by the word of God. And you can have fellowship in the spirit. But that doesn't mean that your personality isn't going to aggravate you. Because your personality aggravates some other people. And so what we must learn to do is set that aside.
Right.
Now, to learn that, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Because that old nature of yours is going to fight against it. Because that's what we've lived with until we got saved. And that's what too many lived with after they got saved. And as a result, we have got to overcome that. And you've got to pray about that. You know, I'm not going to do it. I was going to name somebody and say, you know, they really aggravate me. But I don't want to do that because I wouldn't want what I say in jest or humor then for the devil to come along to you and say, you know, I wonder if he really does feel that way. And he just passed it off by humor. Now that brings up another thought. There are things we will say to other people in jest or humorously that we really mean. But we figure we couldn't just say it flat out, but if we encouch it in humor, then we can zing them with it. That's just as wrong as if you just flat out go up to somebody and tell them what we think. Probably even worse.
That's right, it's worse.
Because that's being done deceitfully.
Yes, sir.
So now you've not only added being unkind, we're supposed to be kind one to another, but you've added deceit to it. Boy, oh boy. And you talk about digging a deeper hole. Uh-huh, yeah. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know how to create that in somebody that it just doesn't naturally come? Now, there's some people, and a lot of this, I'm not trying to take out the Holy Spirit. But there are some people that you just naturally can have fellowship with. But it isn't so much that you're both so godly and holy. It's just that you have personalities that are compatible. I mean, you'd get along if you were both lost and drinking down at the local bar. Huh? Okay, but you're both Christians, but you have personalities that are compatible, so it's easy for you to get along. Don't confuse that with being led by the Spirit.
Come on.
Now, it's great that you have compatible personality. Don't throw it out the door. Don't go looking for people that have a different personality just so you can prove your spirituality. We got a lot of allergies here. Not allergies, allergies, okay? But you see what I'm trying to drive here? If we walk in the light, I have people that I just don't naturally get along with. I mean, I don't not get along with them. I don't have problems with them. It's just that we don't naturally click. Now, don't go there. You're trying to think, who might that be? And then you're going to watch me and see how I interact or don't interact with somebody. The devil's going to ruin you for that sort of thing. My hand is up in praise, and I'm so praising God for it, I'm going to get Pentecostal and put two of them. God is in the process of answering such a prayer.
Amen.
And the fellowship is sweet.
I love it.
I'm telling you, the fellowship is wonderful. If we walk in the light. Now, if I wasn't endeavoring to walk in the light, I couldn't go to the Father at night. While I'm sitting in my recliner, I sit. When I get home tonight, I'm going to get into my. I don't wear pajamas, okay? I wear house pants. They're called. Okay, they're like thin. Sweatpants. Okay, that's what I use to sleep. And now you're wondering, why in the world do we need to know that? I have no idea. But I'll get into that. Oh, I know why I wear them. And that way in the morning when I need to take the trash out, it's not like I'm going out there in red and blue plaid pajamas, okay? And everybody knows I'm in pajamas. As far as the neighbors know, I'm just wearing sweatpants, okay? And so, anyway, now where was I going? I'm going to sit in my recliner, and I'm going to turn on some TV, okay? And I got the British, that Acorn. And I'm going to get into one of the series that I'm in. I get so hooked in TV. Pat used to tell me she would be watching one of those Hallmark movies. And I've seen you roll your eyes. I understand. Anyway, I would sit down. I'm going through the room. I would sit down. She had it on. And I'd be looking at it. And in 5 minutes, I got hooked. And I'd be there for the rest of the program. And she would tease me about that. She'd say, Roger, you are so easily influenced. And I am. That's why I have to live by what she had 3 assistant pastors ago print out. And that's the scripture that says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. It's in a 4x6 frame, sits right next to the television. And but I'll sit down, I'll watch TV. All right, now that program's over. Now I'll probably have my first treat. Then, did you catch that? First treat. And then I'll get my note, turn the TV off, okay? Have a treat. I'll get my notebook out and I'll pray. Now, I cannot pray if I'm not walking in the light. Well, I can say words, but I am not communicating with God unless I'm walking in the light. Okay? And if I just watch something on that TV that I shouldn't have, okay, some a scene came up that, whoa, where'd that come from, you know? Well, you don't have to sit there and tough it out. Turn it off. Okay? Change the channel. Get up and go get another treat. Treat. And then, but I cannot pick up my notebook and turn to a section and begin to pray if I was watching something I shouldn't have. Why? Because that would not be walking in the light. And if I want to have fellowship with God, I must walk in the light. And I want to have prayers answered. And so, now, it's not easy. Okay? It is not easy. You know, the illustration I just got you, I got that one down pretty well. Okay? Pretty well. Okay? I got that. But there's other areas that I can struggle with. Nah, don't let him do it again. You're going to sit there and trying to think, I wonder what other areas. Well, I had a victory in this area. Tonight, when I brought a piece of chocolate cake in to have, I'm looking at her because she's my chocolate cake maker. And I found out that she and I are going to have more chocolate cake than we had before, aren't we? Yeah, we found out that it's not Sam's favorite. We can't figure out what's wrong with him. He talked on something about milkshakes and how he makes them and what have you. And find out how you clean your blender, okay? And I'm going to try that because Charity told me what you could. I like to make milkshakes, but I hate clean the blender. And she said, well, why don't you do it? But my mother-in-law, Sister Ruth Ann, does. Okay, now I don't know if she called you Sister Ruth Ann or not. That's what I just did. Anyway, so I'm going to try that. But anyway, now where was I? Oh, chocolate cake. Got it. How'd I get there?
Victory.
Hmm? You had a victory.
Oh, I had a victory, yeah. I'm glad somebody's listening. I brought in one of the smaller pieces, okay? Now, I'd like to say it was total victory. But really, having a smaller piece just lets me know that I can have a third. Okay, I can have another one after that. I got a can of peanuts. I might get them in and just munch on them. No, 5 or 6 peanuts would be no problem. But 5 or 6 hands full? And these are not peanuts in the shell. These are all in the shell. So we're talking a lot of peanuts. Woo! Goodness, you say, what in the world kind of preaching is this? Beats me, they never taught me to preach as well as they did. My seminary homiletics professor and the one who taught me how to, you know, stand up in the pulpit and everything, he probably is rolling over in his grave. All right, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Here it comes. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now it does that because we're walking in the light. And when we're in fellowship with him, he is able to take, we sing it, the power of the blood and apply it to our life. Amen. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Well, now, who in the world of us? I mean, after all, this is Wednesday night. Who's going to say they don't have sin? Literally. Here's how we do it, us good Christians. Well, that can't really be that bad. You know, I know Tim does the same thing.
Sure does.
And I think highly of him. And so I can probably get by with this.
Go ahead.
Now, we don't verbalize it. This all goes on in our mind. And when we're going through it, you know, like, what do you call those things? Maze. Okay, we're going through the maze, and when we come to a block, we somehow are able to, in our thinking, just switch it around and get to where we want to be. If we say that we have no sin, who are we fooling?
Ourselves.
Ourselves. We're not fooling God.
For sure.
If you're married, you're not fooling your marriage partner.
That's right.
If you're a young person, you're not fooling your parents.
Right.
We're just fooling ourselves.
Right.
And besides that, it's proof that the truth is not in us.
Right.
Well, that gets a little concerning. It's one thing to not be living as we ought to live, but to say the truth is not in us. Who is the truth, by the way?
Come on.
Who?
Jesus.
And the truth is not in us. The truth about what we've been thinking and talking, and the truth about who we've been going to. All right, verse 9. I've got to keep moving here. Verse 9. If we confess our sin. Now remember what that means, confession of sins. Is agreeing with what God says about that sin. It's not merely admitting to God that we did something wrong. It's good to do that, but 1:9 confession of our sin is agreeing with what God says about it. Not just mentally, but in the inner man. I can mentally agree with things that God says about stuff.
Right.
That's not hard. But to agree with what he says about it in here, that's another matter.
Amen.
If we confess our sins, what does it say? He is faithful and just. If we agree with what God says about the thing that I just did, thought, or said that breaks his word, if I agree with that, he is faithful, and he's not only faithful, but he's just. Because what he's going to do is forgive us our sins. Now, you see, the reason you would confess and agree with what God says about a transaction is because you want forgiveness. Okay, that's why you would do it. You know you've offended God, you've done wrong against God, and so he is faithful and he's just. He'll do it rightly and justly to forgive our sins. But then here's the wonderful part. He doesn't just forgive our sins, he cleanses us. What good does it do to have our sin forgiven? Because it does a whole lot. Yeah, but if you're just going to go and do it again. So he cleanses. He works in us in such a way to enable us to not, keyword, need to do that again. Doesn't say we won't do it again, but he's worked in us in a way that we don't need to do it again. We now have an additional involvement of God in our life so that we are able to say no the next time it comes up. Now, in order to do that, you must be yielded to the Holy Spirit and not your own spirit.
That's right.
Okay? But if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, now we're going back to walking in the light. If you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, then when that, and it will come, when that temptation comes, you can go to God. You don't have to kneel down by your bed. You don't have to kneel down anywhere. You might be driving. I suggest you stay in the driver's seat. Okay? But you can just call it God. Here it comes again. The same thought is coming to me. You forgave me once before, and you promised that you cleansed me, so now I need your help. And God's going to say, well, I wonder if you really mean it. No, he isn't going to say that. But that's what you might think. The devil might bring along to you, do you really mean it?
Yep.
If you really meant it, why did you do it again?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We did it again because we're weak in the flesh.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And the devil knows our Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sin which does so easily beset us.
Come on.
See, it's just not called Achilles heel in the Bible. Got that? You know what the Achilles heel is, don't you? Yeah, I don't know who Achilles was, but anyway, he had a heel, and it was a problem. I think it's some Greek mythology. Is it a Greek mythology? Yeah,
would you like the story?
Yeah, what's that?
Would you like the story?
Yeah, tell me a story.
The general gist of it, he was a warrior in Greek mythology, but he was blessed, essentially, in a type of holy water.
No, you can't hold it, because I'm hooked to it. Go ahead, tell me.
He was a warrior of Greek mythology, where the gist of it was, he was dipped in water that gave him supernatural strength, but only one spot was covered, the heel. So he kept racking win after win after win, until one day, nicked the heel, game over.
Uh-huh, there you go. Thank you, Randy. I read that one time years ago, but I couldn't remember it.
And
I probably won't remember it anymore, but you see, you and I have an Achilles heel. The Bible calls it the sin which doth so easily beset us. And so don't get down on yourself. Don't let the devil give you a hard time. When he comes along, you just tell him, listen, I don't have to deal with you. Jesus dealt with you on the cross.
Amen.
Now listen, I'm telling you, tell the devil that. You don't just think this stuff. You talk to the devil and you tell him, I Jesus died for me. I don't have to do what you're telling me. You say, well, I don't know if that'll work. No, I know you don't, because you apparently are skeptical of even trying it. I'm telling you, it worked. It worked for me. And I'm not all whatever, okay? Where are we at here? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, oh, wow. What's it say there? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. He isn't just going to forgive that sin and cleanse us, but he's going to extend that cleansing to other areas in our life that he knows we have need of. Let me tell you something. That's a loving God. And he is going to work in us to an extent that he is able to give us victory. But friends, and with this I'm going to close, it's a package deal. We started in verse 6. We went through all of these verses bit by bit. You can't just cherry pick this out, pick that up. You can't just say, well, I'll agree with what God says about it. No, you got to, all the way along, you got to walk in the light, all of it. I'm not going to preach it again. I'd like to, but I'm not going to, okay? And so, Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for being indeed a gracious God to us. And I pray that your Spirit will help us, help me to remember these things that I've spoken.
him on and tries to